Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope this podcast finds you well, that you're ready for some fun Disney talk. Ricky and I are going to talk about all the great things happening here at Walt Disney World in the next few months. There's a lot of changes, a lot of stuff to talk about. I love this stuff, so stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. They are a platinum earmarked agency. And I can tell you what, it has gotten cold here in the Midwest over the past week. I don't know what happened. It went from blazing hot to freezing cold. We didn't get much fall in between. And as soon as it got cold, I started thinking to myself, man, I wish I was on a Disney cruiser. Man, I wish I was down at Walt Disney World, because we got the Halloween parties going on. The Christmas parties will start here in about a month. Good times to get down to Walt Disney World. And there's still rooms, still packages available for the rest of 2018. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. You're going to get some awesome booking bonuses, Disney gift cards, Magic Band skins, of course, the world famous travel laundry bag, and much more. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and I'll get back to you right away. And you and I'll be working together to plan an amazing vacation here for the end of 2018. Or, hey, we've got all 2019 to work with as well. We can even go into 2020 if you want to take a Disney cruise. Let's get that future trip on the books so you can start using virtualmickey.com from Wednesday to count down your trip. It all adds up together. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Again, the holidays are quickly approaching. I know, no, don't sweat it, but it's happening quickly. So when you do that online shopping, please do click through our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please do bookmark that on all of your devices. And when you click on that link, it takes you directly to Amazon. Everything is exactly the same. Amazon just gives us a little bit of credit for you shopping through our link. So again, thanks to everybody who uses the link. And if you haven't, please try it today. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1396 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. It is homecoming here in the great state of Missouri. Homecoming weekend out at Mizzou, so I will be out there for the festivities. So if you happen to be out at Mizzou, I know I got a lot of listeners in Columbia. Come up, say hello. I'd love to see you. So hopefully you're having a great fall weekend as well. Let's kick it off right now by some fun Disney talk. And Pam is having her fun out on the West Coast, getting ready to head to Aulani out in Hawaii. But of course, stopping into Walt's old stomping grounds at Disneyland right now. But she will be back after her mega trip to the West Coast, going to Disneyland twice, once on the way out, once on the way back.
Yep.
I just want to be Pam Forrester, but right now I'm Mike Rallman, so that's how we're going to roll. So, all right, joining me today, as always, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's on the plans this weekend, Ricky? Senior pictures, or what are you doing?
First of all, I feel like second banana after that intro. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
No, what do you mean? I mean, like, you know, like, I'm always here. I have never missed a show. Almost
that's
11 years.
You make it so that you don't miss one.
If I miss a show, it doesn't get recorded, so that is a good point. But I'm just saying, like, the good point, you know, either you or Pam is always here. So I appreciate that very, very much.
I feel like second banana, so
you're
it's fine.
Not. It's fine. You're the star.
I don't mean as much as Pam, because I'm not at Aulani and not at Disneyland, so I see how that works, so that's fine.
Jennifer
that's
liked fine. Your yeah. shirt better, so that's all I got to say.
No, nothing exciting on tap for the weekend. Probably we'll do some work on the Mouse for Less, because as we're going to talk about this week, or you know, today, there's a lot of stuff that I have to update this weekend. So lots of fun news that has come out this week, and I think we're going to kind of talk about it a little bit, right?
Yeah, sort of. And you know, it's funny, because like when you're a Disney fan, like before you get involved, where you know, you and I have basically jobs that, you know, involve Disney, like my full-time right. job. That's all I do. You know, I deal with Disney all day, every day. That's what I do. And I love it. You also do spend a ton of time outside of your primary job doing a lot of stuff for Mouse for Less and the Magic for Less and so forth. So before I did anything that was connected with, you know, like my professional job working, you know, in the Disney bubble, when I saw change, I get all excited. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to read about it. And I still do get excited about it. But now, like, when I see a big change, I get paranoid. Like, oh, my gosh, that's going to be, like, so much work. I got to figure all this out. It's like, whew, I get cold sweats now where I used to get so excited. I'm sure you get
excited. No, I completely understand. I'm sitting here going, oh, no. Like with the tickets, oh, there's so much that has to be changed on the website.
It's so funny.
Because really it is. It's a huge challenge when Disney changes something like massive, like the tickets, because you not only have to research it enough to find out like what is happening, but then you have to make it so that other people can understand what you've researched. And it's never easy to understand what you've researched. So you have to put it in layman's terms for them. And, it takes a couple hours, if that, you know, plus to kind of sometimes get all that content and figured out and written down and made it readable, I guess I should say.
Well, and don't get me wrong, because, you know, being in education, I used to have to go through professional development a lot where, you know, I taught for 17 years. So what I was learning as I went through professional development towards the end is that, you know, I would sit through a full day of a presenter talking about a different way to teach kids and, you know, methodologies for learning and so forth. And I tell myself, like, didn't we learn this like 12 years ago? And it was called something different. It's same thing, just a different name. That's what kept happening in education. And I'll say it's much more fun to learn about Disney tickets nowadays than to sit through like the hierarchy of learning. So,
yeah, absolutely. It's totally more fun to learn about Disney stuff. But I feel like I'm writing papers now. But these times they're fun papers. They're like Disney papers that I'm writing.
It's nuts. It's fun. Yeah, I know. It's like, if I'd only known in college what I'd be doing today, you know, like that's the funny thing. I always tell myself that because I have a master's degree plus in education and now work and travel, which is awesome. But I wish I would have known that back then. But anyway,
I know, right? The things we should have wished we'd known.
Exactly. All right. So Pam is still not here. So we're still off topic again. But
that's right. That's Mike and Ricky for you. When you've got us, we go off topic a lot. So
Mike and Ricky in the morning here on FM 104.5, the Morning Zoo. All right. Anyway, so we are going to frame today's show. We're going to talk about some topical, Walt Disney World happenings. But what we're going to do is frame this in an idea of, is this something or is this nothing? And of course, let me preface this by saying all of these things are obviously something to somebody, because we all have different goals and different dynamics in our family, who you travel with. You could be a solo traveler. You could be a couple. You could be a retired, you know, couple that's going down. You could be a group of 20 college students and you're taking them down. I know somebody from the podcast is doing that. So many different ways. So what we're going to do is say, like, my family of four, and sometimes Paige doesn't even go sometimes because she's so busy lately, but, you know, is this something to my family right now, this particular thing? Well, if I say it's nothing, it doesn't mean that I think this is bad news. It's just nothing for me at this point. Where if I was, you know, if Mallory was still two, something that might be nothing is going to be something.
That
was totally messed up. All right, anyway, we're going to hop in. So, of course, the news of the week, the exciting stuff, are the tickets. So now we have date-based ticket pricing that Disney rolled out this past Tuesday, October 16th. And, you know, here's kind of the overview of what I think. And we knew this was going to happen here for about a month. And we're getting ready. And we've talked about this briefly on the podcast before, that Disney's kind of following suit as to what, and again, I'm a sports fan, so I compare things a lot to sports. But if you go to professional sporting events, especially baseball that has, you know, 81 home games a year, so you have, you know, a long span of 6 months to buy tickets and so forth.
Right.
What they've done, and they've found out, I guess, this is more profitable for them, but it also kind of keeps the fans happy too. I like this idea, is that they call it in baseball dynamic ticket pricing. So they look at the, you know, high demand game for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Cubs. It's our rival. So those tickets are going to cost the most. And if it's a Saturday game, they're going to cost the absolute most because they're the highest in demand. Now, if we're playing the Cincinnati Reds on a Wednesday night, they're going to pay you to go to the game. they're going to give you popcorn and soda.
Please,
to show.
Please come see the Reds play.
We have lots of Reds fans. Sorry, Sheingold. I know.
Sorry.
I know, Phil, you're a Reds fan. So anyway, you know, I'm just saying, but it varies because I think that, again, it's supply and demand, and that's an incentive to get people to travel. You know, when that happens, they want you to travel. They don't want the stadium to be 200 fans for the Reds and 42,000 for the Cubs. They want to kind of equalize things. I think that's the goal of what Disney's doing, because it's going to incentivize guests to travel in the off season when kids are in school. And it's not gonna, I don't think it's going to penalize I mean, it depends how you look at it. It's all philosophy. But do you think it's penalizing people for traveling, like on the Christmas holiday? I mean, you're paying a premium, but is that a penalty? I mean, how do you see these things?
Well, Disney was already charging kind of a premium in the first place for those, you know, holiday weeks. They had the pricing already structured out as in peak pricing and, you know, low ticket pricing. I don't remember exactly the three tiers, but there were three of them. And so they really already had it kind of figured out as to what those tiers would be. So now, instead of them just being, oh, well, this week is, you know, peak pricing, now if there's a low period in that week, they can now make that, you know, a little bit cheaper so that guests are not spending the peak pricing on a day that wouldn't be so, you know, busy, I guess I should say. So if they think that the crowds are going to be down, you know, then there's still the ability for guests to pay a little bit less money.
Do you think this is an attempt, though, to get people to at least reconsider traveling at the busiest times of the year? I mean, do you think somebody's going to say, well, we were going to go, you know, between Christmas and New Year's. Okay, so because, I mean, right. I've gone that week and I love it. Just because as right. a school teacher, you know, Pam and I are both teachers. That was one of the only times we could go other than summer. And we like the Christmas decorations. We like the parade. You know, it's a great time to go get some sun in Florida. Of course, mm-hmm. it was just insanely crowded. Do you think this will change crowd patterns moving forward in the next year? Or do you think people will just say, well, you know, the overall cost of a Disney vacation, what's an extra $100?
So I think what it will do is it won't change like those peak weeks. So it won't change Christmas week. It won't change, you know, Easter, spring break, that time period, because those times are set for people. But say, for example, you are looking at the summer and, you know, the dates are variable in the summertime. If, you know, if there's a cheaper ticket during the middle of the week versus the weekend, you might be able to finagle it so that you can move your days to the cheaper days, so you're paying the cheaper ticket price. You know, it just it allows you to kind of see the bigger picture of, okay, well, now I see if I'm moving my date this day to this date instead of the date that I was looking at originally, I'm going to save a little bit of money. So those people that are kind of stuck with their dates, I don't think it will make them, you know, any impact for them, but it will give people who are a little able to be a little flexible with what dates they're looking at, kind of pick and choose which dates that they want to go with.
And you said the key word is flexibility. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have that to be able to really take advantage of this, because a lot of people are locked in, you know, like I can only go here, here, and here. And especially if you're in education or you're in, you know, some government work, stuff like that, where you're tied to things like that, especially when you have kids, it's kind of difficult.
Right.
So Stacy's asking a question about, you know, any idea how significant the price differences are, slow days as opposed to peak. So Disney Parks blog put out some information this past Tuesday as well, which you can go to. It'll be, you know, not on the front page at this point, but you can check it out. And they just gave some examples. And so I thought we'd go over these really quickly for everybody that might be listening on their commute today here on a Friday. Maybe you're out on a run. Maybe you're walking the dog. Apparently we're big with the dog walkers from Wednesday. So we appreciate that. So they gave five scenarios because, you know, the question that I kept getting, I'll tell you, over the last couple of weeks as a travel agent was, should I buy my tickets prior to the 16th? Or should I wait? Is it going to be cheaper for me because maybe I'm traveling in September, maybe I'm traveling in October, maybe I'm going in February? And the answer that I gave my guests, I'll be straightforward, was they didn't tell us the new pricing structure until it was rolled out. Like it just, boom, they would not tell us the structure until it went live. And so the blanket answer I gave everybody is that in for most guests, I was thinking the price was going to increase slightly, because when Disney changes things historically, it typically doesn't get cheaper, right? I mean, we've learned that about annual passes.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of, and it did, but here's the scenarios I came up with. So let me just go through these real quick. A six-day ticket. So say you were checking in on November 22nd, 2018. This ticket, if you had the new tickets that are in effect now, as opposed to the old tickets, that ticket, it costs $5 more each day. So remember, this is price per day. So you got to add, so if you have a family of four, that's $20 a day times length of stay. So, you know, that's kind of significant. Now, you know, again, everything is significant. Disney vacations are expensive and you want to, you know, you want your money to go as far as you can. That's my goal with my guests. I always want to get them the most for their dollar, because I know I go to the same place and I spend the same money and I know how hard I work for each dollar. So I want everybody to have the same. So 6-day ticket starting November 22nd, $5 more a day than the previous pricing. However, the one-day ticket, if you go on Christmas Day of 2018, that ticket is going to cost exactly the same as for the Magic Kingdom. It's approximately $1 million. I'm just kidding.
No.
But
we're just seeing if you're paying attention. Yeah.
No. But it's probably not cheap to go to the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Day. I'm just saying, for a one-day ticket. I love the little icons. You got a little Christmas tree. Now the next one's a little heart with an arrow through it.
Yeah.
A three-day ticket starting February 10th of 2019. This ticket would cost $4 less per day than previous pricing. Mm-hmm. So
that's savings right there. Yeah.
So February 10th, though, let's think about that. That's one of the slower periods because it's before President's Day. It's before the Princess Half Marathon crowds arrive. So
it's
this
even
is again
before Valentine's Day. You're not even going to be there on Valentine's Day with that day.
Yeah. The thing is, you get, if it's a 3-day ticket, you get 5 days to use it.
That's true.
So you could use it on Valentine's Day. If you didn't, even you don't get 3 days, but you have to skip one of the first three. So,
right.
I mean, so there you go. It's, you know, again, slower time, ticket is cheaper in that situation. Oh, there's a firework icon. It says a 6-day ticket starting on the 4th of July. Actually, it's a really good time to go. This ticket would cost $3 more per day than previous pricing. So if you go over the 4th of July for a 6-day ticket, it's $3 more per day. So it goes up there. And a 2-day ticket starting August 26th of 2019. This ticket would be $4 less per day than previous pricing. But again, look at the date, August 26th.
Right.
So that's
kids
when...
Most kids are back in school.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the South and Midwest, mm-hmm. everybody's back in school. Now, if you're on the East Coast, that's going to help you because you guys start school a little bit later. So you can take advantage of that late summer before the kids go back. So they give us this kind of little table at Disney Parks blog. I think it's kind of what I was saying. I think most people are going to pay slightly more overall than the old tickets. But it's not like, again, I hate that it goes up. But I mean, gas is going up. Everything, you know, price of food goes up. But there is an opportunity where you can pay the same or actually pay less. But I mean, you got to have the flexibility to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And looking at the breakdown, you know, I kind of looked at it earlier today. A one-day ticket starts at $109 and then it seems to top out at about $129. So if you're looking at getting that Christmas Day ticket, that's going to cost you $129 for just the one day. So, you know, that's the one-day ticket. If you're looking at a 10-day ticket, the range, you know, we're going for the extremes here. So the range goes from $44 per day all the way to $51 per day. So not as wide of a gap when you're looking at the, you know, the difference between the cost there. So, you know, it's a $20 difference for the one-day ticket, you know, versus what, a $5 difference for the other one. So, I mean, you know, it does vary depending on how many days. Because, you know, with Disney, the more days you play, the more you save. So that's something to keep in mind as well. The other thing to keep in mind is these date-specific prices won't change once they're released. So you don't have to worry about if the date becomes more popular than Disney thought it was going to be, that the ticket prices are going to increase. So that part's nice as well. You don't have to worry about that, which I think is really good.
Now, as of recording, I haven't heard any changes with annual pass pricing. I mean, of course, they do.
There was a change.
Okay, so
yes,
let us know, because I know you wrote that blog for touring plans. What do you got?
I did. So the Platinum Pass... The Platinum Pass Plus has gone up an increase of $45 to $994. This is the second price increase for annual passes this year, because this is actually the second ticket price increase for some tickets. So this is the second price increase for annual passes this year. That total price increase for the year is $125. So just keep that in mind.
Because here's what let me jump in on that one real quick. I think Disney is trying to, and again, they did this at Disneyland over the past couple years.
I think they're getting ahead of the game for what they did. Yeah, they're a little behind the eight ball at Disneyland. I think they're trying to get ahead of it.
I think they don't want to have as many folks buying annual passes for the benefits for like one trip. They're trying to price them such that they're good for, you know, instead of like, maybe in 11 or 12 days in the parks, and then you're getting your hotel discounts, and it starts to make sense. They're going to try to bump that price up to where it's going to be something that you're going to need to make two or three trips to make it worthwhile.
Right, exactly. I 100% agree with you on that one. Then moving to the Disney Platinum Plus, Platinum Pass, just the Disney Platinum Pass, that has was also an increase of $45, and that is now $894, and that is a total price increase for the year of $105. So... and the difference between the two passes is the Platinum Plus Pass, or the Platinum Pass Plus includes admission to all four theme parks, as well as admission to the water parks, ESPN, and Oak Trail Golf Course, as well as the mini golf courses. The Disney Platinum Plus the Disney Platinum Pass, I cannot speak today. The Disney Platinum Pass just is for the 4 theme parks. So there's a little bit difference there. So with the Plus Pass, you get to go to the extra stuff like the water parks. There also was a increase in the parking fees. And this one's going to hurt, let me tell you. So if you want preferred parking.
I'm never doing that. I like my steps. Forget
if
that.
If you want that parking that is like right up front, it is going to cost you a whopping $50 per day. I remember that rolled out at $35 per day not that long ago. So
they could, you know what? That doesn't bother me. They could charge $100 per day for that because
you know
what?
If like, you want to pay it.
If you're doing that, you don't care about money. I mean, I just, that's my philosophy.
I'm pretty sure that's. Wait, no, that might be total. I was going to say, isn't that on top of the $25? But then I was like, no, wait. So yeah, the standard parking is now $25 per
day. Now that's crazy. So, now that is nuts. I'm glad I stay on site.
Yeah. So that's also that's also crazy. And then if you've got a shuttle, a limo, a camper, a trailer, an RV, a bus, or a tractor trailer, that's going to be $30 per day.
Yep.
So
Don below, Don, my buddy up in South Hadley, Massachusetts, can't drive the 18-wheeler, man. It'll cost more than his hotel room.
That's right. Exactly. So yes, that is all of the ticket price increase fun.
All right. So let's get to this real quick. Something or nothing in your eyes.
Oh, something.
Yeah,
obviously.
This is obviously something huge. There's, for everybody.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts on this one. That's a something for sure. So,
And we'll have more discussion with this when Pam gets back from her vacation because, you know, she knew of things. She couldn't share a lot of this stuff because obviously Disney meets with travel agency owners and so forth and gives them a heads up. But she was on a non-disclosure, so she couldn't even tell us. You know, even though I'm like, bam!
Which makes it way harder. I can't even tell the people that work for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. She's such a rule follower and a team player, which I love that. She's a good person. But I mean, I was trying to get it out of her. Like, come on, man. I need to know. Like, we have a.
I gotta know.
Give me some news.
Nope.
She wouldn't. So,
nope,
you
she
know,
didn't,
now
she
that
didn't
we're
break.
Now that we're past the NDA period, we'll have some discussions with her. But that kind of gets it started. So obviously, something for everybody. So let's kind of hit some of
the,
that was kind of the big story to talk about. But
that was the big story.
Let's talk about some of these other things that Disney has announced. And Ricky, do you want to share about the Disney? It's weird because it's like right before Christmas. Over at the studios, the Disney Junior Dance Party coming live. So tell us about that.
Yes. So recently they closed the experience that was there before for the little ones. It was the puppet show. And now they are bringing in the Disney Junior Dance Party, which is beginning December 22nd at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It will be a live show that will rock the park with high energy songs, dazzling special effects, new friends, and beloved characters, including Mickey Mouse himself. The show includes DJ, I'm not kidding, that's his name.
Wait, is it DJ or just DJ?
No, it's DJ DJ.
That's awesome. That's a good name.
Yes.
I would have come up with that.
DJ.
Yeah. DJ the DJ.
DEJAY. That's. Okay.
I like it. I'll tell you what, that name is something right there.
That name is something. And host Finn Fiesta. There.
tell me, Finn Fiesta has to be a fish, right? Maybe.
Where did he come up with these names?
It's got to be a fish. It's got to be a fish like in a sombrero, right? Come on now.
No. Oh, my goodness. I really want to see that.
Yes,
now.
A fish. Like the
I really
DJ.
Want to see a fish.
The DJ is kind of like Left Shark for Katy Perry. Like you got DJ DJ, and then next to him you got Finn the Fiesta Finn or whatever his name is up next to him with the sombrero. I'm just. It's awesome. Come on, go ahead. That's something too. Go ahead.
It is awesome. Okay. Anyway, it's gonna allow guests to sing, dance, and play with their favorite Disney Junior stars like Doc McStuffins, Timon from Lion Guard, and Vampirina from Vampirina, of course, as well as Mickey Mouse races from Mickey Mouse from Mickey and the Roadster Racers. I think it's going to be a show that has characters on stage dancing. So that's kind of cool. And it's going to be a spot for your little ones to just dance and run around and have a good time.
So for me right now, where I am in my life, this is really nothing because we're probably not going to go to this. But you know what? This is a huge something for young families.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. you know, if you've got a young family, this is definitely something that you are going to want to go to, especially since I hear Vampirina is like the thing for little ones. So, yeah, I mean, she's like the Beatles right now or something, apparently. I don't know. But for me, not obviously not anything. I didn't even go to the last show. So, you know, we'll see if I end up at this one. But.
I feel terrible because it seems like just yesterday we were sitting down and watching Caillou and all the Playhouse Disney, you know, the hot dog show, Disney or Mickey Mouse Playhouse Clubhouse or whatever. Like, I used to know all the young kids stuff. Now, the Soul Train, all the board, the choo-choo train. They still do that? They don't do that? Choo-choo Soul? They don't do that anymore between the shows?
No.
So I'm so out of touch now that, you know, Mallory thinks she's 21 even though she's only 10.
Yes.
She thinks she's Paige's
exactly.
age. So I feel bad for that. So Vampirina, though, is super popular.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. So you can see all your favorite Disney Junior characters at the new, what is it? I got to learn the name, apparently. The new Disney Junior Dance Party. It's a really hard name.
That is insane. What's hard about that? And Angie says in the chat, you know, something for her first grader. She's Vampirina obsessed.
Exactly. Just saying.
There you go. So, and that's what I love about Disney. Like, even when something isn't something for somebody, it is for somebody else. There's so many different demographics.
That's right.
Great.
Not for us,
awesome.
But definitely for somebody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jennifer says, RIP Sophia, the first.
I know, right? Uh-huh. Is her show still on? I don't even know. This just shows me. Like, if her show's still on, wow, what a slap in the face to Sophia.
I just like that she had, like, a butler named, like, Bailiwick or something like that. I remember some kind of crazy English name.
If she's not on anymore, then I understand, I guess. But you got to get the next new hotness going. But, you know, that's a shout out for Ben. He knows Men in Black.
All right. And apparently Jennifer said D and J were on tour, Disney Junior Live on tour. But it was somebody maybe different.
It's different.
Okay.
It's different.
Yeah, maybe it was his brother, D and J. And then you got DJ, the DJ with the Fiesta Fish. Anyway, so let's go on to the next story. And it
Fiesta Fish! I love it so
whatever
much.
Whatever it is. Fiesta Fish.
Whatever's
name
is.
So... over
Sophia
at let me
just
let me,
ended. Okay,
oh,
that explains that.
Sad.
Okay.
Okay, let me throw this one in. Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood, staying at the studios, all the hotness. You know, everybody wants to get over there. This holiday season, Buzz, Woody, and Jesse are dressing up in Christmas outfits to meet and greet the guests. They're gonna be there. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't know if Disney did this by accident or if it was just pure genius in that. If you think about Toy Story Land, 365 days a year, how is it lit?
Yep.
Christmas lights. It's going to look, I mean, they really wouldn't have to go too far to make this just a killer land for the holidays because it's already got Christmas lights every, and it's the kind I like.
They don't really have to do anything.
Not
too
much.
They just like, ta-da, it's Christmas.
you throw that vest in the picture on the Parks blog on Woody and you're set, man, boom, put a Christmas hat on them.
Fantastic is. I think that some people who aren't like us, you know, like listen to podcasts and stuff like that, you know, the noobs who come to the park are going to be like, wow, look at how this is decorated for Christmas.
They took this land over the top with all these Christmas lights, man. They did it up. No, you know, because around our house, we have a debate because Pam and I agree on a lot of stuff, but we disagree on some things. And one of the things we disagree on is Christmas lights. I like the big old bulbs like they have at Toy Story Land. I even have some
They have different kind of bulbs in Toy Story Land, though. Did you
yes,
notice that?
Yes, but I mean, most of them are those big old school ones.
Most
like,
of them
the
are
big,
the big ones,
you know,
yes,
oh,
yes.
If you ever visit the studio, I have had the same set of Christmas lights. Now, these are LEDs, but they're the big bulbs. You know, they look like the old ones I had in my house when I was a kid. But they're LEDs now. I have not unplugged them in 3 years. They've been on 24/7 for 3 years. I've only had one bulb go out. They're all around the studio here. So if you ever visit, you can't see them behind me. They're in front of me. But it's one of those things.
Really helpful, Mike.
Exactly. She likes the little tiny like icicle lights. So I love Toy Story Land. I love the aesthetic. But is this a big deal? I mean, is Disney, you know, what do you think about the holiday? Is there anything else happening besides they're going to throw on some Santa hats and vests and stuff?
I mean, I'm sure that there's some additional things that are going to be taking place for the holidays at Toy Story Land. However, for me, this news is kind of like, I mean, you know, I want to know what other things they're going to be doing for Toy Story Land, if any, which I suspect there probably will be. Because, you know, just meeting the characters with a different vest or a Santa hat is not really enough to get me going. You know what? I need to plan my trip to Toy Story Land, you know, like that's just not, that's not doing it, but that's all right.
Here's what it says. Guests visiting during the holidays can expect to see Woody in a holiday vest adorned with Christmas trees and presents, as well as a candy cane accessory for his holster. Jessie will also trade in her cowgirl vest for a red holiday vest trimmed in a peppermint pattern, while Buzz Lightyear will add a sparkly Santa hat to his out-of-this-world ensemble. Buzz only gets a hat. That's all he gets. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That'll fit on his head. Yeah.
And it says, in addition to the holiday character greetings, guests visiting Toy Story Land beginning November 8th can also enjoy the land's new holiday decor, including oversized cranberry and popcorn garland. That's cool.
That is cool.
Here you go.
I think that's cool.
Here for all the millennials and for me, because I take selfies every morning. A holiday card selfie of Klaus. Nice.
Okay, all right.
An oversized ham sugar cookie.
Love it.
Green alien ornaments and more.
Love it.
And
okay,
it says,
see, now that I'm in for.
And it says the land's attraction will also be plussed up for the holiday season with new audio and or music. Guests will hear sleigh bells ringing on Slinky Dog Dash, while alien swirling saucers will offer two holiday tracks plus themed lighting. Okay, now you know
that
what now
part,
I mean because
now that
you know
part
I mean
is better.
Yeah.
Yes,
they kind of buried the lead on that story.
They did bury the lead on that part because just Woody, Jesse, and Buzz wearing little adornments that are Christmassy is not going to do it for me. So yeah, the other things are definitely better.
You know, give me some good Christmas audio on an attraction or in a land and I'm sold. So to me now that it was nothing, you know, I'm not all about the vest. I could care less if, I mean, it's kind of cool, but I mean, I'm not a character picture guy. I love,
that
they're my favorite characters.
But,
yeah, the vest isn't a big deal, but the audio on the attractions and adding some different, you know, holiday theming around the land to kind of plus it. This is something now. I like it.
Yes, agreed. I think that that's, yes, that made it something. And by the way, for those who haven't been to Hollywood Studios for the holidays, it is seriously fantastic. Yes. I'm a huge fan of the holidays at Disney's Hollywood Studios now. I know it's not the Osborne lights. I get it. I understand. Nothing will ever replace the Osborne lights. 100%. I'm with you on that. However, you know, I really feel like with the show that they did, you know, on Tower of Terror, and then, you know, the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam and all the decorations, you know, Gertie's wearing the Santa hat, the dinosaur, and, you know, all the tinsel everywhere. I really feel like Disney's Hollywood Studios has knocked it out of the park. And honestly, I think that I know this is heresy. I think they do a better job than the Magic Kingdom of holiday decorations.
I agree.
Just saying.
Well, especially with Toy Story Land
now. They killed it last year.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm with you. I mean, the thing is, Main Street is amazing in the Magic Kingdom, but it stops there.
Yes, but it stops on Main Street. If they carried it throughout the rest of the park, then that would be, they some do a little bit in Liberty Square, but nowhere else is themed really around the holidays. So, you know, it makes me sad, like really, really sad that nowhere else is decorated, you know, really much for the holidays, minus a couple of stages for the shows that they have for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
I think the thing about the holidays at the studios that they're selling is the retro Christmas feel. And when you think
nostalgia.
About it, I mean,
yes.
It's nostalgia, but I mean, I'm a huge Christmas fan. I'll be honest. When Mallory and I, because it's conference week at school for Pam, so it was just Mallory and I went to dinner tonight together and came back before we did the podcast. And on the way home, we were listening to Christmas music already.
Okay,
on my
that's
iPhone.
A little much.
I know it is, but I mean, just we'll listen to it for like 10 or 15 minutes. But the things like we were listening to were the nostalgic song. You know, like the songs from like the 30s and 40s, like a Julie Garland, you know, song or Burl Ives, you know, that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, that is Christmas. I know that it's not for everybody, but I mean, it's good to have one park because, for you know, in this, like when they really started decorating with those older looking ornaments and decorations at the studios, like it's awesome. Like, I mean, it really takes you back. I love the look of the studios.
It is 100%. The studios is kind of my go-to park for the holidays now. Not going to lie.
It is. All right, so let's get to another story that's happening or another thing happening down at Walt Disney World. And this one has been going on for the last year or so. Of course, over at Disney's Coronado Springs, they are building the giant 15-story tower, which I would guess if I'm not in construction, maybe it's about 70% done at this point or so. You know, the building's there. Now they got
outside.
The structure's there. Now they have to do, you know, obviously put in all the rooms
everything
and everything else. So, but it's there. You can kind of see the size of it at this point. But Disney Parks blog again put out some pictures and renderings of what it's going to look like when it's done.
And this is, you know, when I look at this, it's something that Walt Disney World doesn't have, because even as plush as like the Contemporary, the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian are, I see those more as, how can I explain this? Like, they're very themed. They take you to a different place mm-hmm. in time. You know, Victorian era for the Grand Floridian, you're in the South Pacific when you go to the Polynesian, the Contemporary, kind of futuristic. And that's what, yeah, kind of. It's
right.
You know, that was a little bit weaker on the theme than some of the other places. Wilderness Lodge, Pacific Northwest. When I see these renderings of this tower at the at Coronado, instead of like, you know, if you stay in the Ranchos at Coronado, you really feel like you're in the American Southwest. I think they're going to have a nod to that in the tower, but the tower is more, it looks really opulent. And like,
that's,
you know,
the if, word I yeah, was it, thinking.
It's, totally it's just really nice. It looks really, really fancy to me.
It does. Opulent is the exact right word, because it's just, it feels very over the top. It's very clean in the sense it's all whites and golds. And, you know, I have to say, I think that if, you know, I hate to say this, it's going to be a gorgeous resort. And I know what they're going for. This is a convention resort. I mean, that's 100% what they're going for. And you get that. I feel like you will get that feeling even, you know, more so now moving forward with, especially with these renderings. So if you thought Coronado Springs was a convention feeling resort before, I think you're definitely going to feel it now. Because I don't feel like there's, you know how all the other resorts are so well themed. From these renderings, I don't get that with this. Like, it doesn't feel very, you know, Southwestern. You know, it doesn't have that appeal that it used to have in that sense. Like, it definitely is very opulent and beautiful and gorgeous, but it's just, it's not going to be the same hotel that I think you're used to. It's going to be plussed, but it's definitely, it doesn't have that same Southwestern-y feel. And I feel like that will be a huge knock for those who were fans of Coronado before. So I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to have to go inside this hotel once it's done and see, because like I said, it's gorgeous. It just, because I've been in a lot of convention hotels. The Hyatts are usually convention hotels. This feels like a Hyatt to me. I'm not even going to lie. It feels very Hyatt like.
Well, Mandy's even saying in the chat that it kind of looks kind of Vegas like, you know, like, you know, like if you're thinking of like a Venetian, because that's themed, of course, to Italy. But it's opulently themed, you know, and you got all the different,
right.
Every hotel in Vegas is themed to something, you know, whether it's Egypt or New York or, you know, whatever, the MGM Grand.
This just doesn't feel like it has a theme anymore.
But I think here's what's, you know, I love the Coronado. I think it's a great resort. It's in a great location. I love it before the tower. And I think here's the thing. Disney has to have this for the conventioners because they can't continue to use the facilities they had 20 years ago because needs have changed and they need to keep up with the Joneses outside of just the Disney fans. And I think that's what they're doing. I think
absolutely.
The way you're going to have to see Coronado now is basically two different experiences. You know, you have the opulent, the fancy tower, you know, and I don't think it's going to kill the theme. I think that if I decide to still stay at Coronado and stay in the casitas or the ranchos or the cabanas, whatever, I think I'm still going to have that same feel as always, because that tower was there this summer when I stayed there and it was being built with all kinds of noise and it didn't look nice because it was being built and it didn't bother my vacation one bit. However, I'm going to have many, many more options for dining. You're going to have that little, like, kind of like a geyser point out there on the water. I mean, I think it's going to be a great place to stay. You're right. You're going to see more conventioners, but that does not bother me one bit. And I think it's going to give you a plus experience, but I don't know necessarily if it'll change the feel if you stay in the three areas that have always been there. I don't know, though. We'll have to see.
Yeah, agreed. If you stay in those three areas, I think that it's not going to change. But, you know, a lot of people are going to stay. You know, they're going to put people in that big giant tower that they just built. So, you know, it's got 545 rooms. So that's not, you know, small by any, you know, account there with 50 suites. So, you know, I don't know. I think the nice part is that it is going to have, you know, the restaurant at the top, which will be very nice as well. You'll have great views from there, obviously. So that part will be nice to have that table service restaurant at the top of the tower. But I'm not sold on this yet. And like I said, it's very beautiful. I'm not sold on it. So I'm going to have to go inside and see what it looks like once I'm actually in there. But to me, it doesn't fit the theme of Coronado Springs at this point.
Yeah.
It just feels nice.
Well, I mean, but it could. You know, the thing is, like, we've seen the renderings, and we've only seen a few pictures, and...
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need to definitely see more from this resort before I really judge it.
Yes. So, you know, and also Melissa said in the chat that it reminds her of Vegas, too, when she's seen the renderings. But let me ask you this. Is a hotel that reminds you of Vegas a bad thing at Walt Disney World? Is it... I mean, of course, they're two different audiences, you know, for the experiences that you get. People go, for the most part, people go to Vegas for a way better, you know, different experience than you get going to Walt Disney World.
Playgrounds for...
Exactly, playgrounds for people. That's right. But I've heard, people throwing their kids
very
to circus circus.
Yeah, very exactly. Different playgrounds, yes.
Exactly. But I mean, is that a negative thing that it's kind of a Vegas feel to it? Because Vegas hotels are nice.
I don't think it's a negative thing, but I feel like it's lacking the theme. That's the part that I'm having trouble with. I think that it doesn't feel very themed, at least from the renderings that I see. So, like I said, I'm keeping my mind open, but I'm going to have to see it in person to really say, hey, I feel like this really is on theme. It's just a lot more opulent than it was before, and we'll move on from there.
Yep. So something to me, this is something, because I'm actually excited for it to be finished, and I'm going to stay there as soon as it does finish, because I want to see the new experience. Maybe it'll be something, because I've stayed at the Swan and the Dolphin for different media events. Love the location, don't like the hotel. It's just not themed enough for me. You know, it's a very nice hotel, heavenly beds and everything. I mean, it was plush, but it wasn't Disney, and I didn't like it. So... You know, it's just different strokes for different folks, like I've always said. But is it something for you? Because I think the tower is something for me. No?
I'm going to go with moderately something. Like I said, I want to see what it's like. But, go inside it and really, really take it all in. But I'm not itching going, ooh, you know where I really want to stay? I really want to stay at Coronado Springs because of the new tower. So,
all right. So do we have any other stories you want to hit real quick before we jump out of here? We got about 5 minutes left. You got one?
I got two minor things.
Ahead.
So we'll just kind of go through them real quick. Speaking of resorts, we've have the new debut of the Caribbean Beach Resort. And from the photos that we've seen, I think now this is one of those places where I think they really hit the nail on the head. I mean, you talk about the fact that it feels like the kind of theme that you're going for. I mean, they did a great job in refreshing the way the hotel looks, the lobby, the restaurants, all of that. Fantastic job. It still feels in theme. It's got a lot of blues and greens and yellows and, you know, bright, vibrant colors, that kind of thing. Lots of like gauzy feeling stuff. I really like what they've done here at Caribbean Beach. This actually makes me very excited to go over there and see what that looks like. You've also got Sebastian's Bistro, which has opened up, which used to be, you know, they Shutters. Were going to call it Shutters, and then they realized, no, let's not call it Shutters because that had a really bad reputation. So let's call it Sebastian's Bistro. They also renamed Centertown Market, which is the quick service location, and they've updated the menus of both of these. So I'm very excited to try out the food for both of these to see kind of how they've branched out a little bit and made the food a little bit better. For me personally, I think this is a win. I'm really excited to go over there just based off of what I've seen from photos of Caribbean Beach. I think it looks fantastic.
I'm with you. I think it's something because, again, it's...
Yeah, I think it's something.
William brought up a great point in the chat is that, you know, it's really nice to have a service like Uber around now because it's even more... a part of, I think, a lot of folks' vacations to go resort to resort, where maybe it wasn't 10 years ago. And I think that, think about this, what did Disney come out with in the last 2 years? The minivans. Which is a, you know, there was a problem. You know, it was always hard to get from resort to resort. You know, back when I started going to Disney and we drove, we'd just leave the car. As soon as we got there, because we drove 1,000 miles, I never touched it. I rode Disney transportation only. So if I want to go to the Polynesian from Pop Century, I did the old school thing. I would ride a bus to the Magic Kingdom and then catch a monorail to the Polynesian or a boat launch, whatever. You know, I just got there that way. But now, you know, Disney has probably heard that conversation from guests. And so there was a problem, and a good business solves problems. And so they came up with minivans. And of course, Uber's, you know, same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you're 100% right. I think that with these resort renovations, they're really making people want to come see these resorts, and I'm very excited to go. You know, I didn't really like Caribbean Beach before. I thought it was just okay. It felt a little, I'm going to be honest, felt a little dumpy. You know, I know that it's a favorite for some people, but for me, it just didn't, it didn't hit, you know, for me, you know. So everybody's got their resort, right?
Exactly.
So it wasn't a win for me. I think now that they've done this and updated this, I really feel like it's turned around and I'm really excited to go over there.
Yeah, you had the new dining, the new shopping, you're going to have the Riviera on site there, and you're going to have the gondola system, you know, as an access point. I mean, this thing is going to become the... In my opinion, in 18 months, this will be the most popular moderate resort, for sure.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait until the Coronado opens and it has all the conventioners. So.
Yeah, but they don't have the gondolas, do they? They don't. So.
Yes, they will. They will have gondolas at the Riviera, so, which is, I think, connected. So.
I don't think it's connected to Coronado, though. That's a Caribbean Beach. I think. Now I got to think. I'm pretty sure it's a Caribbean
Beach. Now
I'm
confused.
Coronado will not have them, I don't think. Because Coronado's right next to the studios.
No, the Riviera is a separate one.
I know, so, but it's right next to Caribbean Beach, though.
Maybe it is.
It is. It's now on the same property.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, last thing for the day. What we got?
Last thing for today. And this is one that I was like, huh, okay. Disney Springs is adding yet another restaurant. As if they didn't have enough. We have CityWorks Eatery and Pour, P-O-U-R, not P-O-O-R, house.
It depends how expensive it is. You might go into Pour and come out P-O-O-R. You know,
exactly. It's opening in 2019, and it's going to be on the west side, and it's going to be obviously a restaurant bar that has plenty of high-def TVs, including a 165-inch screen.
Wow.
And this is a chain that has 7 locations, but it's going to offer 80 beers on tap, including rare options, as well as popular wines and bar bites, shareables, burgers, and more. This will be your traditional sports bar, finally, at Walt Disney World, it seems like.
Something. I'm a sports fan, and I like sports bar food.
So the hard part is I think, it, like to tell, I think it's right, like either next door / attached to where they're building the NBA experience. So I don't know if this was like they just renamed the restaurant for the NBA experience and then they're going to have like a different type of entertainment at the NBA experience, or whether the NBA experience is going to have food as well. And then this is like right next door, because I think that they're actually connected.
I'm so excited to go to Disney Quest and then go to this restaurant afterwards after I play.
Nope.
Wait, what part of Disney Springs you say this new restaurant was?
Yeah, Disney Quest. Sorry.
Where is it at? No, you said what part of Disney Springs?
West Side.
Only old school people would get that.
I mean, I know you can watch it at sports at ESPN, but that was kind of small. So I feel like this is a big deal, especially for those who always ask, hey, where can I go watch the big game? This is going to be it. Although, if you still want to watch the Super Bowl, I think you're still going to have to get here early because it's going to still be packed. So, this is not something for me. Let's just put it that way. I'm sure it is definitely something for Mike Rollman.
It is. And God help us if the Rams make the Super Bowl. I'll be glad for my dad because I get to live out his dream, but that'll make me so sad.
You know, part of me is like, oh, this just feels like a ripoff of the NBC Sports Boring Girl. So kind of feels like that. But, you know.
Everybody's got to have their sports.
Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know. It's fine. I don't particularly like sports bars because I grew up literally going to a sports bar at least once a week for dinner growing up.
That's what my daughter's going to say. That's exactly what my kids have said.
Did not cook. Mom didn't cook very often. So dinner was at a sports bar almost all the time.
Which
so
Mattingly's?
I hate sports bars now. Can't stand them. No.
Was it Mattingly's?
It was Mattingly's. Yeah. Can't stand sports bars. They've ruined me. So, nope. Matter of fact, when Brian asks where I want to go to eat sometimes, he's like, let's go here. And I'm like, nope, sports bar. Let's not. So
you're such a hater. Brian, he puts up with a lot.
Yes, he does. He likes the fancy places like I do now, yeah, so good, we're good. So.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much. Of course, drop by the Facebook group because we talk about a lot of topics, and let us know if this is something for you or if it's nothing. You know, we're just trying to have some fun talking about what's happening down at our favorite place, so swing by there and let us know. We love the conversations on Facebook, so let's make it fun this weekend. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Whether you're headed down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, sailing with the Disney Cruise Line, even planning an amazing Adventures by Disney, drop by the magicforless.com. Check out all the great specials. See all the agents. They got bios over there. You know, some of the agents are experts. They've done, you know, 7 or 8 Adventures by Disney. They're going to be the perfect person to work with for that. Maybe you have an expert that's, you know, platinum on Cruise Line or, you know, crazy, does a Walt Disney World podcast. I don't know, you know, whatever it is.
And some of them are Mike Rollman. Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know.
I know. When you get assigned this agent, you're like, oh man, there were like, you know, so many of them. And I got Mike. What? I know. It's
bummer.
But I'm just saying, you know, hey, the agents are monitoring your vacation to make sure you're getting the best price possible every morning. And they're going to give you great service. They really do care about your trips, and they want you to have an awesome time, just like we do when we go down. So check them out today. Support the show. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast over at themagicforless.com. Again, holidays are coming up. Please bookmark preemptively for the holidays. Put beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon on all your devices. And then anytime you need to buy anything, just click through. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help support the show. One thing I'm going to ask for this weekend, if you have a few spare minutes, an iTunes review over on the iTunes podcast store. We love the ratings and reviews. It helps us bump up in the ratings. And we've had those for years, but I think after 10 years, some of them do start to expire. I don't know exactly how that works. But if you have a few minutes and you'd like to rate or review the show, we'd really appreciate that over on iTunes. All right. Well, give us a follow on the social media. We love talking with you and seeing you. So we are on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, again, the Facebook page is facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right. Time to get out of here and get ready for an awesome homecoming weekend out in Columbia, Missouri. We're going to have a lot of fun. So if you're out there, say hello. And whatever you do, stay safe as well. So for Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Until we see you again, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.